I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you, always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain.
Please be seated. Today we are celebrating 52 baptisms in the past 20 months. We thought it'd be great to have a day where we express thankfulness to what God is doing in our congregation and what He's doing through many of you. We are proud of the 52 Christians that have made a commitment since the beginning of 2016. You'll be seeing their names and their pictures flashed on the screens in front of you. Why? Well, because part of the vision statement that we have says we are committed to being a spiritual resource to our community by sharing the gospel. And so I am here this morning and asking, if you have been baptized since 2016, would you please stand? Amen. I'm not going to make you keep standing. We are so excited. You can sit down, youth, too. The adults sit down immediately, but the youth need a little prompting. We have a book by Wendell Winkler called Toward Spiritual Maturity that will reiterate some of the things that Tim is going to present in his sermon this morning with a bit more detail. But we want all these new Christians to come to the front after our sermon today for a picture, and we're going to give you one of these copies of this book to help you as you continue your life in Christ. The second part of our vision statement, though, reads, we are providing, being a spiritual resource by training, equipping, maturing disciples of Christ who are confident in their salvation and prepared for excellence in ministry. If you look this morning, the young people who led our service, Tim DeSpain was baptized about 5 years ago, Trey just a little bit over three, Zach last year, and then Jordan, who will be leading our closing prayer, just less than a month ago. I want all those who have helped with our Christians since 2016 in the following capacities to please stand. If you have taught one of these people since 2016, would you please stand, or if you've helped teach? If you have invited someone that has been converted since 2016, would you please stand? If you have had them in your welcome home group or your brother's keeper's group, remain standing for me. Will you please stand? If you have greeted or welcomed them at one of our services, will you please stand? If you have had them as a Bible class teacher, will you please stand? If you have been praying for these young Christians in their growth, would you please stand? If you have had a personal interaction with them to encourage their faith, will you please stand? If you have had them in a small group setting to help them deal with life's issues, would you please stand? And if you have had them as a friend to show them what Christian fellowship is like, would you please stand? I want you to look around. This is how many people it takes to encourage and develop young Christians. You can be seated now. My question for you this morning is, what are you doing to help in this process? It takes a lot of people to grow young Christians into maturity. We need everyone to find their place in support of the vision that we have to be a spiritual resource to our community. These young Christians needed us, and there are more who need us to teach, to train, to equip, to mature them as disciples of Christ so that they can be ready to accomplish every good work that God has planned for them. My question for you is, will you answer that call? Will you commit yourself to not only teaching, but encouraging, equipping, training our young Christians to grow in the faith so that the church will be greater and bring more glory to God in the future. Think about that. Tim is now going to come and preach to our young Christians specifically.
I was thinking about stand up and shout it. If you love my Jesus, sit down and whisper. I mean, how many times are we going to have you stand up and sit down this morning, right? You got your legs stretched. Listen, 52 souls saved by the blood of Jesus. We ought to celebrate. And that's one of the things as we met with the staff, met with the elders. We want to have a day where we just celebrate what God is doing in the life of this church. And I know sometimes it's a little bit awkward when, you know, we ask you to stand and be recognized. What we want is for you to have a visual. We want you to have kind of a picture in your mind and in your heart. It takes a lot of people. It takes your friendliness. It takes your time and your money and your interest, the investment of your life in someone else's life to build a bridge for the saving message to reach them and bring them to Christ. Now, I want to talk to that specific group, 52 souls that are won by the grace of God. Set free, stay free. You've been set free by the blood of Jesus Christ, stay free. I want to tell you what you've entered into is one of the most difficult challenges of a lifetime. It is a difficult thing to live faithfully, to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, to not just accept Him as Savior, but to submit to Him, to submit your life to Him as the Lord of your life. It's a struggle. It's not easy. I'm going to tell you this morning, the devil wants you back. And the world out there might laugh at something like that. The whole thing that we're talking about, that people have been saved from their sins, that, you know, they've been delivered, or that there's a devil out there that wants them. Let me tell you something. The spiritual battle is real. And we just sang victory in Jesus, and that's a wonderful thing. But there is an adversary who is like a roaring lion. He prowls around. He wants you back. So this morning, very briefly, we're going to talk about some faith-affirming habits. There are some things you need to be doing so that you can walk in the light as Jesus is in the light and enjoy that fellowship with Him and that constant cleansing that comes from His blood. All of these things are fairly obvious. And I'm just going to tell you, it's not a matter of knowing them that's going to make a difference in your life this morning. It's the emphasis of doing these things every day. Number one, the first essential habit is daily Bible study. I remember reading one of Bill Smith's books a long time ago. And Bill said, can you imagine a guy says he's a great lawyer? He just doesn't know anything about the law. Bill said, somebody said, I've got a great doctor. You ought to go see her. She doesn't know anything about medicine. I think there are people walk around all the time and give off the impression, hey, I'm this wonderful, faithful Christian. Read this. There are a lot of pages in that book. They don't read it. Why should you read it? Folks, Acts 17, verse 11, you've got people in the city of Berea that are considered as being more noble in character than the Thessalonians. Why? Because Not only did they receive the word with all readiness, they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things are true. I don't want you to believe what you believe just because I said it. I've said that recently in a conversation with one of my, you know, my 15-year-old daughter. Listen, I don't want you to believe what I believe just because I believe it. I want you to find out what the Word of God says and believe what the Word of God says. That's part of your commitment as a Christian. Listen, Matthew 4 and verse 4, Jesus makes it very clear. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. There's food for the body. And there's food for the soul. And God's word is food for your soul. It will feed your faith. It'll nourish your soul. It will help you to be faithful. one of the stories I thought about, because I want you to think about taking ownership of your faith. This wonderful story where Jesus encounters a Samaritan woman at the well in John chapter 4. And it's such an interesting story because in that interaction, Jesus knows some things about her that she finds it remarkable that he knows these things. And she goes back to her town and she says to the people in her town, "Come see a man who told me all things that I ever did." She said, "Could this be the Christ?" And at the beginning of that story, John 4:39, what the people say is that they believe because of the woman's testimony. I want to tell you that's normal. Somebody met with you. Maybe it was one of your parents. Maybe it was your spouse. Maybe it was a friend that you have in this church. Most likely for a lot of you it was Ty. Ty has just done a marvelous job of sharing the gospel. We are really blessed to have him here. But listen, there's a time when you believe because you heard from somebody else. But Jesus stayed in their town 2 more days, and they listened to them. They listened to him, and then they come back to this woman. I want you to hear this, because this is important. They said, "Now we believe not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." Some translations say, "We have heard for ourselves." Why do you believe what you believe? It's important for you to reach a point in your life with God that you know what you believe and why you believe it, not running your faith through someone else's study and hard work and perspective, but you've read it for yourself. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You can't get enough. You just can't get enough of God's Word. There's never going to be a time in your life where you say, "Well, I mean, it's just too much." No, it's good for you. Get in God's Word. Read God's Word. Now, the other thing I want to talk about then is the second faith-affirming. It's prayer. You got to pray. I thought it was so cool. You know, sometimes when you're up here, you can hear a response from the audience. Sometimes when I say a passage, I can hear all of the pages turning. But there was an audible response when Ty said, "If you've been praying for these people," and I could hear, more so than any of the other responses, I could hear the number of people that stood up. Because some of you are old and you needed to grab that pew in front of you, and I could hear it. That was free. When we read the Bible, God's talking to us. He's talking to us. And when we pray, we're talking to God. Do you know this old song? "My God and I go in the fields together. We walk and talk," listen, "as good friends should and do." I love that. There are people that we just look forward to. We can't wait for that time with them. We're going to talk to them. Why? We love them. We're close. Listen. The key to any relationship is communication. Great relationship between husband and wife. We have a great marriage. I don't talk to her. I mean, can you envision that? Could you see anybody really trying to pull that off? Man, I love my kids. As long as we don't have to deal with them and talk with them at all, it's really wonderful. It's a great relationship. That's not true. You know that's not true. I've got a thriving relationship with God. I mean, I love God. Let me ask you something. Do you talk to Him? Sometimes I think people worry about the things that are in their lives. Is God concerned about that? Listen, in our relationship with our friends, we don't think about, is this too mundane? Will they be interested? No, this is my friend. I love my wife. My wife loves me. We talk about everything. We talk about nothing. We're just sharing our lives together. You can do that with God. What's going on in your life? Especially for the newer Christians, you're going to need this. This is an anchor for you. It's a lifeline. Talk to God. Spend time in prayer. In Psalm 55 and verse 17, "Evening and morning and at noon I will pray, I will cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice." Can I ask you this morning to make that commitment to God? He shall hear my voice. God, I'm going to be talking to you. When I get up in the morning, I'm going to talk to you. As I'm going throughout my day, it says noon there, middle of the day, I'm going to talk to you. Before I go to sleep at night, God, here's my commitment to you. You're going to hear, not somebody else's voice. That's wonderful that other people are praying for me and they're praying for you. But God, I'm going to talk to you. You're going to hear from me. We can never pray too much. I think about Jesus, some of the verses I've got down there. He stayed up late, Matthew 14, 23, got up early, Mark 1 and verse 35. One night, Luke 6, 12, he spent the whole night in prayer. He just talked to God through that entire evening. Acts 2:42 talks about some things that the early church was devoted to. They devoted themselves to prayer. You're in a great battle. You've been delivered. The enemy wants you back. The intimacy, the fellowship you have with God will make a difference. If you'll listen to Him, if you will share your life with Him in prayer. The third faith-affirming habit is attendance. Now, I don't know why this is seems like among some people this has fallen on hard times, and some think it's wrong even to preach about these kinds of things. Oh, you don't tell people, you know, what to do with their time, and there's more to being a Christian than going to church. I agree, there's more to being a Christian than going to church, but it seems like the least. I mean, we're not talking about the most. It seems like the least level of commitment, the smallest commitment that we would make. We sang this morning, here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you are my God. Now, folks, I'm a preacher. I've got my nose in the Bible all week long. And I pray. I'm going to tell you this morning, I need what happens in this place. I need this. To be faithful. There's a reason that God very clearly says in probably the most recognizable passage on this subject, Hebrews 10:25, let us not give up the meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. You know, there's the old joke about the lady that says to the man, you know, you got to get up and go to church. I don't want to. No, you got to get up and go to church. Well, I don't feel well this morning. Well, you got to go, you know, go to church. Well, the people there don't like me. And, you know, you got to get up and go to. Give me one good reason. She said, "You're the preacher." You know, y'all have heard that before. Would you write down? Don't feel your way into acting. Act your way into feeling. I mean it. You got to write that down. That applies to a lot of good things in life. It applies to showing up. I don't feel like it. Well, then you don't. But if you say, I'm going to do it, can I tell you how many times that you may feel tired or discouraged? And I don't feel like going this morning, but if you do, I'm being honest. Even preachers feel that way sometimes. We get discouraged. We get tired. I go up there this morning and I'm just worn out. And I'm just going to tell you something. I never have gone home feeling that way. I might have felt that way before I got here. But see, what happens when we get here? You're here, and that makes all the difference in the world to me. The fellowship that we have with one another, we're going to sing. We're going to sing to God. We're going to sing to one another. There's something powerful. How deep the Father's love for us. I mean, I love that song that He would give His only Son. I mean, you think about that. To make a wretch His treasure. That He cares about me that much. That song refreshes me. That song restores me. That song reminds me. And I need that. Don't you need that? We're going to sing. We're going to pray. Tim, you moved my heart this morning. Your whole life to me seems like a prayer and a praise to God. And if you know some of these people and where they've come from and how far they've come by the grace of God, it lifts your spirits. It inspires and it motivates. I need that. I don't understand these people say, well, I just go out, you know, the golf course, I commune with God. I don't have any problem with golf or any of that kind of stuff. But you're not getting out there what we're getting in here. And you need this to fight the good fight and to stay faithful. We're going to remember. God's people forget. God's people, just go read the story. God's people seem to have a terrible memory. And they forget. And they make the same mistakes over and over again. And he's given this wonderful, wonderful time to remember. How do you not need that? How could you ever deny the benefit that comes from the time we spend together remembering his death? The love that he has for us. There's a strength and a power in that. We're going to sing. We're going to pray. We're going to commune. We're going to give. Folks, you are rich people. You say, well, how do you know that? I'm not even talking about your money. You are the most richly blessed people because you used to be dead in sin and now you're alive in Christ. You used to be lost and now you're found. You used to be far away and now you've been brought near through the death of God's Son. You used to be strangers and aliens. Now you're members of God's own household. God is your Father. Your brothers and sisters, you're blessed. We all have a lot to give. We have a reason to give. We're going to study God's Word and be encouraged by the truth that's there. This last one, you know, evangelism, you say, well, that sounds like a work, not a habit. Let me just tell you, I hope you'll make this an ingrained habit in your life. Those 52 souls that have been saved over the course of the last 20 months. One of the best things you can do to stay faithful and to grow in your faith is to tell other people how much the Lord has done for you. Tell your parents. Tell your brothers and sisters. Tell your spouse. Tell your children. Tell your friends. Tell your neighbors. I think I've got some of these verses on your outline. Acts 5:42, daily in the temple courts and at every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Acts 8:4, they went everywhere preaching the word. Acts 4 and verse 20, they couldn't stop talking about the things they saw and heard. Folks, Hebrews 5 and verse 12 has an important thought for new Christians. It says, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. What that verse is saying, there's going to come a time in the natural progression of your maturity as a follower of Jesus Christ where you don't just need teachers. You are a teacher. That you're a person who has grown to the point, when I say, I'm not saying you don't need teachers. I'm 46 years old. I preach two or three times a week. I've got a lot of teachers. I'm still learning. Be a lifelong student of God's Word, but don't always be dependent on teachers. Grow to the point where you can be a teacher of others. Be a person who doesn't just receive the wonderful good news of life in Christ, but one who has received it, and then you pass it along to other people. I looked up and I saw Eric O'Connor over here. One of the things I love about, he is excited about his new life in Christ. It's a vibrant faith. If I post anything religious on Facebook, he shares it with his friends. And you say, well, is that's exactly what I'm talking about. You can invite somebody to church. You can send them a note. You can share an article you've read. You can highlight a passage and post it on your own social media. You can find all kinds of creative ways, but don't just be a receiver of God's good blessings. Be one who passes them on to others. Find a way to share. Philemon is a one-chapter book. Verse 6 is interesting because one translation of it, I'm using New King James here, says that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ. And that kind of sounds like the way to be effective in evangelism is to understand every good thing you have. So the more you study, the more you know, the more effective you'll be in sharing that with others. And I'm all for that, and I think that's right. But I want you to see another translation of it. The NIV says that, I pray that you may become active in sharing your faith, listen, so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. I think there's some truth, depending on, you know, which one of those translations is more reliable. But listen to me, there's a sense in which you have to know God's truth to share God's truth. Ezra 7:10 talks about how he endeavored not only to know the law of God, to live it and to share it. You got to know it before you share it. But let me tell you something about this translation. And it's true to me over 21 years of ministry, the more you share, the more you grow. The more you are involved in teaching others, the more you learn. They're going to ask you questions you'd never considered before. It's going to drive you back into God's Word. And the more you rehearse to them, here's what God has done for me, and He can do the same thing for you. The deeper appreciation and the constant reminder is such a blessing. It helps you to have a fuller understanding of every good thing that you have in Christ. Now, who doesn't need that? 52 new Christians need that, but honestly, we all do. I want to end with this passage, this admonition that Paul gives towards the end of his first letter to the Corinthians. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Listen, I'm talking to you. Really, God is, He's speaking to you through these words. Stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Listen, that'll help you to stand firm. That'll help you not to be moved. And here, remember, you know your labor in the Lord. Listen, it's not in vain. You're not wasting your time. Now, our invitation this morning, we always invite those who have not made a commitment to Jesus Christ. I mean, if you want to confess your faith that Jesus is the Son of God, and based on that confession, that belief, that faith in your life, you want to repent of your sins and be baptized for the remission of your sins, we welcome that. We want you to do that. It's obviously important to us. It's why we're celebrating 52 people who have done that. And so the invitation is extended. Anybody who wants to do that anytime. But I want to say something specific. The invitation this morning is to do what that passage says. And the song that we're singing is not necessarily a song asking lost people to respond and be saved. It's a song of commitment. That I want you who are in Christ and saved by the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ to sing your commitment to Christ. You know, you were talking, Trey, in preparing our minds that Christ died for sin. And He died for sin so that we might die to sin. Should we continue in sin that grace might abound? God forbid. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Would you please, all of you, would you stand? We're getting ready to sing. If you would stand, all of us together as a congregation. What we're going to sing is the words, I shall not be moved. That's the commitment we're making. And I want you to repeat after me, okay? I shall not be moved. Okay, now imagine that you're at that OU Texas game yesterday. Repeat after me. I shall not be moved. Let's sing that to the Lord.